is hour number two of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. At 1:45, where are we at in society? We welcome a couple of folks from the Austin Chronicle to discuss their holiday gift guide. At 1:30, we make our football picks for the Supreme Lending Challenge. In a mere minutes, it is our weekly chat with the great Paul Wadlington of IT, On3, and EGAT. I'm Trey Elling. Isaiah Collier is behind the glass, and sitting across from me is Chad Hastings.
Yes, indeed. Hour number two. I always look forward to talking to Paul, but something about this week, I've really been interested in this discussion. I can't wait to hear Paul's thoughts on all this coaching stuff. Before we get there, let's just remind you that tomorrow we're headed out and about to help the kids get the toys. It is Toys for Tots. We're going out to Total Men's Primary Care. Three shows, starting with Craig and Jeff. With Light the Tower at 10, we will be out there with our show tomorrow as well, and then RBKD all the way up to 5:30, because Texas basketball goes a little early tomorrow, 6:20 in Anderson Mill location for Total Men's Primary Care. So go drop by a store tomorrow. Let's go new unwrapped toys for those kids in the area so we can make sure they have a good Christmas. That's what we're doing tomorrow.
Justine and I made an executive decision on a gift that we're getting for our kids this year that's probably forcing us to enter another realm.
Really?
In terms of how we live as a family.
Whoa. Well, geez.
I'll share the details tomorrow.
All right. That's a good setup. I like that. I can't wait to hear about that one. Right now, we'll go to the Vaquero's Cafe and Cantina hotline and bring in the man himself, Paul Wadlington. Some people call him Scipio Tex. He's at InsideTexas.com, On3.com, and you can check out the EGAT podcast. He gets to talk sports with Kevin Dunn each and every week, or maybe Kevin gets to talk it with. Anyway, they figure it out. Paul, and also Trey, we do have a sponsor.
That's right. Our weekly Talking Texas Football Chat with Paul is brought to you by his company, the Wadlington and Winslow Mortgage Team. Did you know conventional loan limits were just raised to $647,000, $200 that is? That's up almost $100,000. Find out how you, the consumer, can benefit through Wadlington Winslow after our conversation with Paul. Paul, thank you as always for the time. How are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing great. Wow. Do I get to talk to Kevin Dunn about sports, or do I have to talk to Kevin Dunn about sports?
It's a question that has mystified people for years.
With Brian Kelly going to LSU over Notre Dame for what I'm going to say is academics when I do my podcast with Kevin later, I think he's going to be in an Irish degree of upset that only the Irish can attain. So, and also, I got to commend you guys on Toys for Tots. That's an awesome charity. That's an awesome initiative. Way to go.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. That's a great thought, man. The thought of getting toys for kids for Christmas, that is an easy one to get behind.
That said, if you happen to see like a old retro He-Man or something that you played with as a kid, is that going to find its way into your coat pocket? Is it going to make its way to the kids, Chad?
You know what, Paul? I love the kids, but let's just say if anybody brings an original Skeletor or Optimus Prime, it's probably leaving with me. Yeah, absolutely.
You're only human, Chad.
I'm only human. That is absolutely true.
I'd swipe a battle cat. Hey, Paul. USC swiped Lincoln Riley away from Oklahoma this last weekend. How shocking was it for you to learn that news on Sunday?
It was shocking. I mean, people trying to play it off is like, well, I sort of thought he was making it. No, that's shocking. It was utterly shocking to Oklahoma administration. It was shocking to Oklahoma fans. It really shocked college football because I just think it heralds in a new time that we're seeing. I wrote an article about this on Inside 3. If you guys aren't members of it, you should go join. But basically, it's called Navigating the Uncharted Waters of College Football. And for the first time in college football history, we had five of the top 10 jobs in college football thrown open before the season had even concluded. And that's never happened before. And I'm not going to say it will never happen again, because I do think we're in uncharted waters. And Lincoln Riley was the biggest domino in that move, and that's created a cascading effect. But you've got USC, Florida, LSU, Notre Dame, Oklahoma. I mean, these are incredibly good jobs that if you threw open every job in America in college football and had the coaches power rank where they'd like to be, those are five of the top 10 jobs. And to see those all open for reasons that really used to not apply. I mean, these are effectively, once you had a top 10 job in college football, you either stayed there, got fired, or went to the pros. You know, those were your options. You didn't leave the number 7 job to go take the number 5 job. You know, that's just unheard of. And we're seeing that happen across the board. You know, I guess LSU and USC both have higher upside potentially than Oklahoma and Notre Dame, but these aren't massive differences in terms of programs. And, you know, effectively you're talking about a complete reordering of tradition and history, you know, and pageantry. Those things used to sort of matter, we thought. But ultimately, LSU, that's a Johnny-come-lately program if you look at it historically. They weren't really relevant nationally until the 2000s with Nick Saban. And now it's a better job than Notre Dame, which whether you love or hate Notre Dame, it's the most historic, sort of mythic, epic college football program in existence.
Yeah, Paul, we brought it up earlier. It's a little different when you can't finalize your new coach until a guy gets back from talking to the Pope to sign off on it. Like, they're just different. I mean, it's a different program. And as much as I do not root for both Notre Dame and Oklahoma, they do have so much history. I'm trying to wrap my mind around people, like you just said, that would leave those programs for any other college programs. To me, like you said it, it's the pros, it's retirement, death, or you get fired. I mean, that's it. That's the only reason you would leave. So give me a sense for the Brian Kelly thing real quick. Going to LSU, I watched yesterday. He wore a purple tie. Everything he said made me cringe. And again, I don't even like Notre Dame, but it made me cringe for Kevin Dunn and Bob Dunn and all the Notre Dame fans that I do know. What do you make of him going to the Bayou and then and saying, you know, I'm all about greatness and championships? I'm just thinking, dude, you were at Notre Dame.
Well, first, I want to address the elephant in the room, an uncomfortable subject, and it has to do with racism. You know, everyone's heralding the fact that Notre Dame may appoint Marcus Freeman as a successor, a person of color. Brian Kelly is a person of color. It's a deep pink color that turns to sort of a crimson when he's even more angry and his full mass hole is coming out. But it is a color nonetheless.
Yeah.
And whether you're a pink supremacist or anti-pink, I think that needs to be acknowledged, and I'm tired of this sort of discrimination.
Free the pink.
Is Brian Kelly a good fit at LSU, Paul?
Tell you what, as long as he's winning and he's doing well there, I think he is a good fit, right? Winning sort of, you know, is Nick Saban a natural fit for Alabama? He has sort of affected a Southern accent the longer he stayed there, this guy from the upper Midwest, but you know, was Nick Saban a perfect fit when he came from Michigan State to Alabama? Well, he made himself a fit, didn't he? You win enough games, and that fit happens. You know, when DKR came to Texas as an OU grad, was he a perfect fit for Texas? Well, of course he was. You know, so ultimately, Brian Kelly's winning and getting it done. Yeah, he's a fit, but I think there's a lot of LSU fans who are hearkening back to an old hire. Now, this was a different coach because he wasn't as good a coach, but a guy named Jerry DiNardo, who was brought to LSU in the late 80s and 90s. Mm-hmm. And basically, he was not a fit there. He was not a cultural fit with LSU, but also he wasn't a very good coach. So ultimately, if they'll put up with Brian Kelly and his antics and his tantrums and his pink supremacy, as long as he's winning. But if he's not, it's going to get real old real fast.
Yeah, that's the part of it that fascinates me. I'll try to get used to it, but boy, it just does not feel right so far. We'll see if it works for him on the field. Talking with Paul Wadlington, again, Scipio Text, InsideTexas.com, On3.com as well, and check out that EGAT podcast. So, Paul, in terms of the Longhorns, we'll get to some of the recruiting stuff, but I want to get your thoughts on some ideas for Texas, coaching staff-wise. I had somebody text me earlier today, hey, guys, what about Gary Patterson? Is it possible? What do you think about Texas? It feels like the defensive side is getting a lot of the focus. If Gary Patterson were interested, do you think that makes sense, or is staying pat with Kwiatkowski and maybe adjusting a couple other things, does that make more sense to you as a Texas fan?
Well, I'm not a big fan of the Hydra defensive coordinator or offensive coordinator where you have multiple guys who are claiming to be the co-DC, right? Ultimately, there has to be one decision maker, and I would not think that Gary Patterson would take a gig unless he's the lead chair. Also, Gary Patterson, I have a lot of respect for him on a certain level, but I could very easily see him being program poison.
Yes.
He's a strong-willed, opinionated guy. And people who think he's just going to shut up and do his job and overlook what he thinks is being done or wrong around him, I don't think they know Gary Patterson very well.
Yeah,
on top of the fact that he's going to be very distracted by all those acoustic songs that he's trying to write off-season and even during the season as well.
You imagine him in the live music capital of the world. He couldn't focus in Fort Worth.
True. We talk about that with players all the time, not being able to focus on Sixth Street. Gary Patterson getting an opportunity to participate in the live music capital, that would be a bad thing.
So, a UT player needs to stand up like Bluto in Animal House and smash his guitar on the steps while Gary Patterson's crooning away.
He's going to spend half his time at the hole in the wall. That's what he's going to do.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, I've argued this, and I actually wrote this in my Thinking Texas Football preview, shameless plug, but I said anytime a head coach starts taking up hobbies, playing guitar, traveling, learning the names of his children, it's time to move on.
Yeah. People don't realize this about Mac Brown, but he really got into gardening in 2013.
Yeah, right. He got into something. Yeah,
it was all about the heirloom tomatoes.
I wish he'd harvested a few more recruits. He'd still be around.
Well played.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, speaking of Texas football, Paul, gosh, it feels like 5 years ago that Texas beat Kansas State, but it was nice to end the season on a win. Thankfully, we're not a 5-7 team going to a bowl game right now, but how do you put a bow on this 2021 Texas football season?
A bow. I think that's a present we don't want to ever open again. So I'm not sure if we want to put a bow on it and make it attractive in any way.
No.
Maybe some tie bow, maybe drop some knees and some elbows and some kicks into it. But yeah, I just like to file the season away and move on and move forward. I think that's what Sark wants to do. And I think they're going to try to remake this program. They're going to try to remake the roster. That's for certain. And look, with all this upheaval in college football and this, I mean, really unprecedented upheaval at the top, I would really encourage the UT decision makers in the football program to keep their powder dry on the portal, because I think the guys available now, I think the quality of player is going to keep increasing as things shake out. And I think they need to hold off and then really attack some of those potentially high opportunity players that can really transform the program.
Yeah, Paul, I was just thinking about on the recruiting side of things, Longhorn fans have talked about, I think, and thought about, hey, can you get Lincoln Riley out of this conference for a little while? There have been jokes about, hey, if the Cowboys are interested or whatever, because you just felt like that, you know, he's obviously got momentum going, they're coaching really well. So now, how important do you think this is? What's the time period for you about, okay, Sark, you got to move now. The recruiting stuff with the Oklahoma guys, you're about to go to the SEC. How important is this time period for you that Sark make an impact in some way in recruiting right now?
It's primary. Look, TCU and some upheaval, Oklahoma and upheaval, Texas Tech obviously is hiring a new coach. I mean, look, the program, it's 30 degrees, it's wet. They're shivering, they're in wet clothes, and they just stumbled across a cabin with a roaring fire and a bunch of food. And now they just need to figure out how to get inside. And that's where Sark is right now. So smash a window, make yourself at home in the cabin, and let's start getting warm and fix this thing.
Who do you think replaces Lincoln Riley and Norman?
I have no clue. You know, I thought it would be Matt Rhule. That made sense, but I think Matt Rhule is...
idea.
More of an NFL guy, and he's got a very good owner in David Tepper in Carolina, and I think they've got a longer-term plan that once they can get a quarterback, I actually think Rhule will be a successful NFL coach if he can get a quarterback. That's a big if.
I know you have discussed conspiracy theories throughout your life, so let's discuss this one. What about the Bob Stoops was being punished, and now it's time for him to come back theory? What do you think of that one?
I would probably welcome that, to be honest, as a Texas guy. I think Bob... I have a lot of respect for him as a coach in his prime, but I think he's moved on. And yeah, he may have that hunger and want to coach. I mean, I know he certainly put his hat in the ring for the Florida job. If that wasn't something you guys knew about, that's something that Stoops did. But I question if he still got his fastball. You know, I really do. It's hard to be out of the game that long and really commit yourself to it. And the older you get, the more perspective you get. It's kind of hard to go and sweet talk 17-year-olds in their living room for a living. It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do wonder if that would be a little bit of a Mac Brown deal where Mac comes into North Carolina and overachieves for a couple of seasons but has come crashing back down to earth this year.
Well, and I don't know what, frankly, Oklahoma's next coach is going to have to coach, because that is it looks like an entire program that's about to portal. And, you know, I have it on pretty good information that One of the things that may have motivated Lincoln Riley, aside from the fact that there's obviously more potential upside at USC, at least in terms of recruiting, right? Just your native natural recruiting base. One of the things that I'd heard pretty reliably is that he was very unhappy with his locker room and the OU players. He didn't really like the tenor and sort of character of a lot of the team. And there was a lot of thought that there was going to be 8 to 10 major portals from players, not just Spencer Rattler, if Lincoln Riley had stayed. So the thought was, not only was Lincoln Riley looking for a better recruiting upside, also looking for an easier league to compete in, obviously, than the SEC, but also the sense that he wasn't very happy with the direction of the program and the locker room. And, you know, obviously he still won double-digit games because he's a very good coach, but that was playing in a pretty average Big 12. And truthfully, OU was not that great this year. Even OU fans will tell you that. And I think some of the lack of buy-in from the team was responsible for that. So I think Lincoln Riley wanted to really just open up a new page, start fresh at a new program, and not stay and fix some of the problems at OU. And then I think that new coach is going to inherit that, not only because Lincoln Riley is leaving, but also because the locker room was not hunky-dory already and it had Lincoln Riley stayed. So I think it's going to be an interesting challenge. But the truth is, Joe Castiglione, probably one of the best two or three ADs in college football by far. And he's a great hiring AD, not just a, you know, handshaker and you know, fundraiser. And he's 2 for 2 on coaching hires. He hired Bob Stoops and he hired Lincoln Riley. And that worked out pretty well for OU.
Paul, one more from me before we let you go, and I'll help you practice that podcast that you do with Kevin Dunn. This Notre Dame thing, it's fascinating on multiple levels. But what do you think about the idea here? If it is Marcus Freeman, 35 years old, DC, if he's the guy, and now they've said Tommy Rees is going to stay. He told the team last night, I'm going to be your OC. What do you make of Notre Dame's path and their decision to go with that as the answer to Brian Kelly leaving them?
Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, I don't know if Marcus Freeman's confirmed. And telling a coach who your OC is going to be, wow, I don't like that at all. And I got to think that's going to limit your options. Now, maybe they did that with the understanding that Marcus Freeman likes Rees, and Marcus, that's his guy, right? If that's the case, that's fine. It's just a question of, you know, the timing. But if you really are assuring an OC of his job and you're not 100% locked up on the head coach, that could really backfire on you. I'm very curious to see the path forward for the Irish. I know some Irish fans are saying good riddance to Brian Kelly because he's a guy that sort of grated on them. But by the same token, the guy went 113-40 in South Bend and, you know, had to navigate the restrictions of coaching at Notre Dame. But by far the funniest thing that happened is in the press conference at LSU when he said that he came to LSU for the academics. That was my favorite part.
Oh, my God. There was so much he said that, again, made me cringe, and I'm not even a Notre Dame guy. That's Paul Wadlington, Scipio Tex himself from InsideTexas.com on 3.com, and check out the EGAT podcast with Kevin Dunn. They do that each and every week. Paul, we always appreciate the visit, man. We'll have Trey tell him more about Wadlington and Winslow. Have a great week.
Hey, I appreciate it. You guys have a great week as well. Take care.
Good stuff, as always. Trey, tell them about it.
That's right. This segment is brought to you by the Wadlington and Winslow Mortgage Team. With Christmas coming up, real estate taxes due and income taxes due for some, now is a great time to look at refinancing. A refinance this time of year can mean as much as $10,000 to $15,000 in your pocket without doing a home equity loan. This can help make your holiday season relaxing instead of stressful and put you in a position to start the new year with some unexpected dough. Call the Wadlington and Winslow Mortgage Team to see if you can benefit from a cash infusion during this crucial point in the year. That's without doing a home equity loan. With a good mortgage strategy, reviewing your loan at a time like this makes a ton of sense, even if there isn't a huge difference in your interest rate. And Wadlington and Winslow would love to help you out. So how do you get in touch? You can call them at 832-557-1095. That's 832-557-1095. Or reach out at mortgagesbygabe.com. That's mortgagesbygabe.com. The Wadlington and Winslow Mortgage Team.
Gabe Winslow Mortgage Broker, NMLS number 1613381. C2 Financial, NMLS number 135622.
All right, coming up, we got to make those Supreme picks. The Horn team has slipped a little bit. We'll try to pick it up. We're picking 3 championship games in college, and we're picking a big-time red, white, and blue matchup in the NFL. Stay with us. This is The Horn.
shirts and skins.
I feel like this is one I have to guess because Trey already knows.
I don't know this one.
Wait, is this the "Cause I'm in Today" Valentine?
Yeah, that's that.
Valentine. Yeah, right.
This is that Blink 182 era.
That's a guess. Is he right?
No.
Okay,
no,
I didn't think it was Blink 182. This is that era, though.
All right, not Blink 182. Oh, golly, I'm going to feel stupid. It's not
I've got a guess also after you go.
It's not Sugar Ray, is it?
No.
Nope.
Who is it?
Good Charlotte?
Nope.
Who is it?
Sum 41.
Sum 41.
God dang
it, that was... it was between those two.
Oh, fantastic.
I think they called this punk pop. Pop punk.
I'm not sure I've ever heard you play anything kind of in this world, Isaiah. Any particular reason you went Sum 41 there?
Well, after your partner called me out on the alternative rock, starting to go into that category.
Okay.
Now.
I see. You feel like you need to step up a little bit?
Yeah.
You got a little music snobby on him when he got music snobby on you?
Yeah. So shout out to everybody who loved American Pie for that one, because that era.
Yes. Yes. That wasn't one of the American Pie movies.
I'm still waiting for you to play some alternative rock, by the way.
What was that? Oh, come on.
That was pop punk.
Oh, listen to him. You see what he's doing? He's categorizing. Everything's got to go into a category.
Categorizing. That's what we do.
That is what music snobs do. Yeah. Oh, I get on this all the time. Come on, Chad. They're a metal band. No, they're not. They're a hard rock band. No, they're not. They're a slash metal, but a thrash metal. All right.
I understand that is technically considered alternative rock, but as somebody who loves alternative rock, I think that was when alternative rock, a moment that alternative rock had jumped the shark after legitimate alternative rock in the mid to late 1990s.
Before we get to the Supreme picks, let me just ask this question, since we just talked about the documentary today. Is Alanis Morissette alternative rock?
Yes.
Okay.
She's squarely in the...
She's right there.
Alt-rock category, okay. Yeah.
Fair enough. Jagged Little Pill. If you haven't seen the documentary Jagged, check it out. One of the HBO docs.
Great flick.
That Bill Simmons is a part of. He's a part of that crew.
Yeah, so Texas X Garrett Price, who I interviewed for the podcast, and we played that interview on this show, he did Woodstock 99.
Yes.
That was the first in a series of six films that I guess, in that music box series.
And to give Garrett his love, the best one so far. I don't know if they're going to top that one. Hers was good.
Yeah.
Wasn't that good.
No.
I'm sure DMX's will be good. I don't know if it's going to be that good. And I'm sure the Kenny G one coming up tonight is good. But I'm telling you, that Woodstock 99 was an eye-opener.
It was great on its own. I would say that it's better than the Alanis one. I know Kenny G is an institution, and there were all the jokes about him back in the day. I'm just not as interested in that one as I was the Woodstock, the Alanis, and even the DMX.
Oh, I'm really interested in the DMX. I can't wait to go through that one, because I'm going to learn a whole lot. I know of him. Know who he is. I think I could identify a couple of songs. But beyond that, I'm not going to pretend like I'm some kind of a DMX freak.
Mm-hmm.
But I respect the hell out of the guy, and he's got a wild story to tell. So I can't wait to see it. You're a DMX guy, right, Isaiah?
Oh, yeah. Big DMX guy.
Have you seen this documentary yet? It came out last week.
Haven't seen it.
Oh, man.
Yeah, DMX is from Yonkers, New York. So,
yeah. I think it's called, like, DMX Don't Try to Understand is the name of the documentary. And they follow him. I don't know if it starts when he gets out of jail, but they chronicle kind of the story of him getting out of jail and then getting back into touring and whatever. And then I'm sure they go back and tell his whole story.
Mm.
But they show him literally being picked up at the jail when he was in for his tax evasion, I believe. And he stands on stage at one point and says, yeah, you know, I was a year ago, things are going. And then he says, like, what had happened was, and the crowd just starts laughing. I mean, DMX has such a connection with his fans. I can't wait to watch it.
If you're going to try and imitate DMX, you got to go with a little bit of a gruffer voice than that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I have a little rasp. I don't have a DMX.
Yeah.
I got to go like that. A little more. Oof, oof.
Put a couple of dog barks in there.
I don't think me barking is going to be any more DMX-y. than it was going to be. I just said DMX-y, so there you go. All right, DMX-ish, DMX-like. I'll stop. All right, let's go into these...
Esque.
Let's go Supreme Picks here. Let's just say what has happened. Let's just say it out loud. The Horn team has been about as bad at complimentary picking as the Longhorns were at complimentary football this year. Can we say that? Because one show will have a good week and the others are awful. Then the next week it'll be another show, we'll rebound, and then everybody else is terrible. We were in first place last week, fellas.
We've dropped to last.
The hell happened? Isaiah, we count on you to at least try to figure something out in the morning and then come help us. What happened? What's going on?
Well, you know, in the morning, that's out of my hands.
Okay.
There's nothing I can do about that.
That just
Y'all
happens.
Know that. That just happens. As far as everything else, yeah, it's tough.
It's tough, but
we can come back.
All right, we're trying to come back. Here we go. We're going three college and two pro games. I'm going to start in the NFL this week, and we'll work our way to the college. Let's go Chargers at Bengals. Again, we are picking straight winners here. Chargers at the Bengals. Isaiah, I know at one point this year, you were kind of digging on those Bengals.
Still do.
You still like them?
Still do.
They're at home here.
I'm with Zay here. I forgot to send the picks to Tom McKay, so I'm having to go with my own opinions this week, so I apologize ahead
of time.
Bengals. Yeah, I like the Bengals here, too.
Okay. I kind of do, too, at home. They feel feels like that. That there was such an attitude to the way they dealt with the Steelers last week. I was impressed with it.
Well, the Chargers came out this season like gangbusters, but they've been wildly inconsistent since then.
That's a good word. The other one, the red, white, and blue matchup Monday night is a good one. New England at Buffalo. Straight winner here, guys? In Buffalo, you go with the home team, or do you trust what the Patriots are doing?
Yeah, let's go New England.
Isaiah, you like the Patriots?
Chad, what about you? Because I am very unsure on this game.
My gut says that the Patriots have found something, and they're winning this game.
Even though Buffalo is favored by 2.5
Even
right
though
now.
They're favored. I think right now, the better team, to my eyes, is New England. I think they have really found themselves, and at times, Buffalo's inability to run the ball. You know what that does to me as an old-school fan. I think New England's going to beat them.
Yeah, losing White in the secondary is obviously a big loss for the Bills. I'm on board with picking New England to win this game.
All righty. College-wise, gentlemen, let's finish with the Big 12. So we'll start with Houston and Cincinnati. Anybody want to think the Cougars can pull this off?
Nope.
Isaiah, no?
Chad?
I'll trust Cincinnati to win the game.
Okay. Yeah. I don't need to give my pick.
All right, fair enough. Let's go Georgia-Bama. Straight winner.
I'll go.
Georgia?
Dogs.
Dogs? All right, we'll do it. I like it. I hope y'all are right, and I hope it's not some kind of weird Darth Vader thing that Bama's got. Rod Baber said it yesterday on RBKD. This is why I would pick Georgia. Their defensive front against Bama's offensive front and what we've seen. Bama's offensive front against A&M, Arkansas, Florida, and LSU. I'll take the Dogs.
Yep.
I agree. Boy, I hope they beat them. And a lot of people hope they beat them coming up on Saturday. And then finally, Baylor, Oklahoma State. Are we trusting the Cowboys one more time? Or is this Aranda's situation? If it was Bohannon completely healthy, I might. But I'm leaning Cowboys.
What is Bohannon's status?
I think it's uncertain going into the game, from what I'm understanding. I don't think he's not 100%.
But is he playing?
I think he's available in the game. I think. Double check me. They think he might be able to go. Maybe like a game time sort of thing. I'm just trusting what the Cowboys are doing right now. Isaiah, am I crazy?
No, not at all. I'm Oklahoma State.
Cowboys.
All the way. Yeah.
That defense.
Okay, then I don't need to give my opinion again.
It's
all on you guys.
It is hard to breathe when you're being choked. That's all I can say about watching Oklahoma State play.
Yeah, they're probably so hype about the Lincoln Riley situation, too. Yeah, they're going to roll.
If someone is actively, if they're actively choking you, it is really hard to breathe. That's the way Oklahoma State plays football this year. They just choke you out for four quarters.
Stop bringing your bedroom proclivities into the Supreme Lending picks, please.
How dare you?
I don't know why you said that like four or five times. What happened last night?
What? No, nothing. See?
Did you not get the safe word out in time?
I'm just trying to talk football. And earlier somebody texted, apparently I'd used the word spooky, and we can't use the word spooky anymore.
Oh, yeah.
In 2021. So apparently, I don't know, I just can't say anything right. What is going on?
That's all right. I can't say vulgar when I'm trying to use it in a sentence, and I'm also having a hard time with phone numbers today.
Yeah. You went Vogel yesterday with vulgar.
Right.
By the way, there's a lot of reasons why I don't think I could ever be a safe word guy, but here's what I think the number one is. Because it's me,
I worry that they would take the safe word in a sarcastic way, and I'd end up in the hospital.
That's not
like they wouldn't take me seriously.
That's not taking it sarcastically. That's having an excuse to actually do that to you.
Or that. That's a concern, too. Maybe that's more my concern. That's the part of it I could never get into. I can't be like role play guy. I can't be that guy. I can't be, now to be fair, I was never asked, but I didn't end up with that person. But like, I just couldn't imagine get dressed up in all kinds of stuff. Okay, you're going to be Daryl and I'm going to be Betty and Daryl will meet Betty at the hotel. And I'm like, oh my God, can we just, I thought we were just going to have sex. What is going on?
Yeah, there was only,
it would exhaust me.
There was only one time where the choking thing came up for me in that situation. And the girl asked me, why are you choking yourself out right now? I'm like,
come on.
It just helps with the sensation.
I don't know. There you are. Oh man, that is crazy. All right. I will resist whatever joke I was going to think to add on to that, because we don't want to make that any worse, because there already be enough emails coming in. All right, there are your Supreme picks. I'm sure Supreme Lending and Chris Waters Realty are thrilled about that mention right there. Thanks to them, though, we are raising money for good causes. Before you get mad and send emails, money for good causes and Toys for Tots tomorrow. Did I mention that? Total Men's Primary Care, 620 and Anderson Mill. New unwrapped toys for kids. How could we be evil?
Terrible time to talk about helping kids out.
We're doing that. We're raising money for good causes with the Supreme picks. Clearly a show that is nothing but positive and good-hearted. That was a bad transition.
I am going to tell you tomorrow the decision that Justine and I made that's totally going to change the dynamic in our household in terms of a present we're getting our kids.
You're not going to tell us today? You're
no, I'm gonna hold it off till tomorrow because it'll make sense tomorrow because it'll help encourage people to drop toys off for kids.
Oh, well, then that's brilliant. Okay, well done.
Thank you.
Well played.
But I'm still going to promote it today, just like I'm promoting the fact that we're playing part three of my interview with Bob Saget at 2 o'clock, mm-hmm. and I literally had to, I think, triple or quadruple the number of bleeps that I put into today's portion of the interview from what I did yesterday.
Yeah. If you listen to Bucky and Aaron this morning, and they played the video that they eventually edited all of the kid on TikTok doing the whole coaching thing, yeah, that was a nice number of bleeps, but I think Trey's got more bleeps today. I think you got more bleeps with Bob Saget. Than they had bleeps.
Multiple, like, different F words and some other words as well. A P word.
Yeah. That was good editing, by the way, on that video this morning, Isaiah.
Appreciate it.
That kid's talented.
Yeah, solid.
Kid's got a lot of voices in his head.
Yeah, he does a good job.
I respect that. Nothing wrong with having voices in your head if you can get them efficiently, out and not hurt everybody. That was pretty funny. Check that one out on TikTok and go back and listen to Bucky and Aaron podcasted at hornfm.com. Up next, where are we at in society? The holiday gift guide is out there from the Chronicle. A couple people involved in it are going to come explain it to you. Kim Jones and Rachel Rasko going to be in studio telling us about the holiday gift guide. Don't move. It's the Horn.
Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey.
All right, rolling through a Thursday. What do we got, Isaiah?
Susie Quatro.
All right. Susie Quatro. Good stuff. More music coming from Isaiah. We got the Bob Saget interview, part three, coming up with Trey. But we also have an interview coming up right here in Where Are We At in Society. Here we go.
Where are we at in society today?
All right, Trey, what we got for the people?
We are telling the people about the newest issue of the Austin Chronicle. It's actually the Holiday 2021 Gift Guide, and we have a couple of special guests in to help us out. That would be Kim Jones, who is an editor at the Austin Chronicle, an occasional food writer, too, especially when they're trying to replace Jesse Cape, the great Jesse Cape, and also Rachel Rasko, who mostly writes about music. Yo, thank you so much for joining us in studio today. How are you all doing?
Doing great. Thanks so much for having us in.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, our pleasure. So, Kim, what's the starting point for putting together this annual holiday gift guide for the Chronicle?
Well, our focus is always front and center to highlight Austin-made products, Austin-made artisans, Austin-made artists. You know, we really want to keep people shopping in the community and supporting talented local folks.
So in general, is this, when people go to the holiday guide, is it going to be letting them know places they can go to get gifts? Is it going to be things they can do online, or is it going to be a combination of those things?
The last part, yes, combination.
Okay.
We try to just throw, especially in this issue, this is our annual gift guide issue, we try to throw everything out there for people. So we're highlighting all of the holiday bazaars that are so great that, you know, most bang for your buck, you go and you can see 12 different craftspeople, you know, and see their wares. We also have stuff you can order online, and we divide it up mostly according to just like what your interests are. If you're interested in food, well, we've got, you know, local products there. If you're interested in music, which Rachel is going to talk to us about, she gathered together a ton of really cool Austin music products.
And Rachel, since Trey and I are music snobs, we definitely want to talk some of the musical stuff. So give me an idea. When you think of a holiday guide in 2021 and music, what are the things that that an Austin music fan needs to know for the holidays?
Well, I kind of lust over music products year round, so it was very easy. I tried to just focus on the things that I really wanted. And yeah, I just got a good mix of vinyl records, t-shirts, posters, books, both by and about musicians. And yeah, I was really excited to include some of our favorite records from Austin Musicians of the Year on vinyl, because that's a good way to support them. And there has been much said about an incoming kind of backup in the supply chain of getting records pressed by independent musicians. So it might be a good idea to grab some now.
Who are some of the musicians that you showcased?
I have a kind of post-rock band, Alex Alone, on my list. I had Telenovela. They've been around for a while, kind of an indie pop project out of Lockhart. And yeah, I had a Rocky Erickson tribute. Always have to get some history in there. And yeah, just all kinds of stuff, all different genres, all different age groups. I think it turned out really fun and colorful and looks good in the paper.
You're afraid to say Pussy Gillette, aren't you?
Oh my gosh, I was afraid to say.
That's all right. It's just like Pussy Willow. You can say it in the right context.
Yeah, we declared that the best band name in our feature of that punk band this month.
That is a solid band name. All right, Rachel, give me an idea. Give me a shirt that is on your wish list. Give me a book about music that is on your wish list.
Oh my gosh. Okay, I put a shirt from a local screen printing shop called Fine Southern Gentlemen. They have a lot of like culturally themed kind of like bootleg style shirts that are screen printed in Austin, and they're really cool. So I put a Bjork shirt from them on my list.
Nice.
And for a book, I recently read Michelle Zahner of Japanese Breakfast memoir that came out this year called Crying in H Mart. And it's just a really beautiful book, and I know Japanese Breakfast has a lot of Austin fans because they just came to Levitation, and it was sold out at Stubbs.
I've seen that book all over the place. A member of Japanese Breakfast actually wrote that book?
Yeah, it's the kind of the band leader, lead songwriter, Michelle Zahner, who, yeah, she had like a really popular essay in The New Yorker a couple years ago, and it became this book, and yeah, it was a favorite for a lot of people. And then we also had some local books on there as well, because there's always some great ones from UT Press has a lot of music books out every year.
Yeah, UT Press just put out the Bushwick Bill the biography that I want to check out. That came out a couple months ago. Now, Kim, why is hip-hop producer Boom Baptist on the cover of the gift guide?
Well, we thought it was kind of a pretty good synergy because if you've read the story, it's by a new writer working with us named Julian Towers. And it's really just sort of him and our music editor, Kevin Curtin, kind of marveling over the art of self-marketing. I think Boom Baptist, whose real name I've completely forgotten, that is not the name he was born with. that he'd really just elevated it to a whole new level. So, yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
For marketing sake, the regular name's not going to matter. The Boom Baptist, that's what's going to stick.
Yeah,
that's great.
And he has a lot of merch out there on the internet, too, that would be a great locally sourced gift.
We're talking about the holiday gift guide from the Chronicle. Go to austinchronicle.com to check it out. Or you can actually get a copy of the actual.
Feels good in your hands,
we're
right?
We're holding the copy in our hands today. That is fantastic.
I probably pick up a weekly Chronicle at like five or six different places just because I'm flipping through it. And I remember my stopping point from Houndstooth. So now I'm at some restaurant on the east side. I love the physical copy of the Chronicle.
Yeah. Man, that just takes me back to those days of actually using the hard copy Chronicle to figure out who was in town. And then back in those days, take it with you to all those concerts and stuff. So, Kim, give us a thought for people, something that maybe somebody wouldn't expect to be in the holiday gift guide from the Chronicle, something that maybe a little off the beaten path, since Austin is known for kind of being off the beaten path. But what are some things in there people might not expect from a gift guide?
Well, I think, you know, a lot of our focus at the paper is figuring out how to support people, how to make your, you know, how you spend your money count. And I think one thing to do is, you know, the Zilker Eagle. That's the new train replacing the Zilker Zephyr.
Okay.
It hasn't started. I don't think it started running yet, but hey, we got the merch. So you can get, you know, first edition Zilker Eagle train merch. And the best thing about it is it supports the Austin Parks Foundation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
So you're spending your money in good ways. Another thing I do want to highlight, now this isn't obviously as sexy as some of the other things we've talked about, but every year we put together, it's called the Wish List. And it's where we reach out to Austin nonprofits and we say, hey, beyond money, because obviously every nonprofit wants money, but do you have very specific needs? Do you need school supplies? Do you need computer supplies? Do you need a truck? You know, so we reach out, we put that list together. So if you want to spend some your money, if you want to do charitable donations this year and you're wondering where you know, to put that money, we do all the hard work for you. Mm. So that's definitely something worth checking out.
That is a great idea.
We're going to talk to Sarah Wolf next week to find out more details on that. Now, Rachel, you obviously take care of the music, but what is your favorite gift idea that it's not music related in this year's guide?
Oh my God!
There's the challenge. You made the gears turn on that one. She's like, "What do you mean not music?"
Exactly.
I
read the rest
of the
paper. I only
think about music. you know, I know Kim just said it. I do love looking at any of our charitable giving pages, and I also like flipping through. A lot of these products are available for local pickup, and there's also been a lot said about how there might be some shipping backlogs for the Christmas holidays. So I think a lot of this stuff you could potentially go pick up locally, which is exciting for last-minute shoppers like myself.
Hmm. All right, Rachel, who's your favorite band ever?
Oh, I can't say that on air.
Wow, I like that.
Whoa.
I'm just kidding.
Respect.
I can't
say
that. No, it's a solid answer. I'll let you stick with that.
I think it's a cop-out. You got to give us an answer.
I really, you know, this was asked to me on my first day walking into the Chronicle, and I said something in a panic. So now I will just say that as a music journalist, I cannot reveal my bias.
What was the panic answer?
It's beautiful.
I will say I panic said the Violent Femmes, and I don't know why I said that because they're not my favorite.
All right, Kim, you helped out with the food section while y'all were finding a replacement from Jesse, who was apparently going to be here after the new year. I'm sure that was at least a little bit of fun, getting paid to go eat and then getting to write about it. What's your favorite place to eat in this town?
Oh my goodness. Wow. If only you'd asked me a question about film. Food. Okay. Where do I like to? I don't know. I really am drawing a complete blank. Food's not my beat, which is why I'm so glad that we're. This has not been announced yet. But yes, we do have a new food editor incoming.
Breaking news.
Very exciting. Yes. More on that later. But no, I actually wanted to jog back to the question you posed to Rachel that she was flummoxed by. As I have two things in our. They're not specific product recommendations, but they're more just like general. These are solid gift ideas. One is our Day Trips columnist, Gerald McLeod, suggested a cell phone booster for when you're going on road trips, which I thought was a really smart idea.
Yeah.
And then the other one, this is my idea, which people look at me, they're like, that's ridiculous, but $15 hot water bottle. The humble hot water, you know, the kind where you boil the water, you pour it. This is the old school, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Best present. I bought them for my friends last year and for me because we were watching shows outside during lockdown. Everything was outside, so I bought hot water bottles for us to warm our laps, and we did it like once or twice.
You're talking about the bottle that looks kind of like a whoopee cushion,
exactly. Huh. And like I slept with that thing in my bed the entire winter through the storm. And I've already broken it out this year. I know you guys are looking at me like I'm nuts.
I'm intrigued.
I barely use my heater. It's like the most luxurious treat you can do for yourself. And you just use the same water over and over and over again. And $15.
Wow.
So, yeah. Treat yourself right
there.
Good
idea.
Wow.
You buried the lead. You should have started with that.
I know, right?
You really should have started.
I feel like I'm in preparation.
I'm really repping print media old school here. I'm like, have you guys heard of the hot water bottles?
Next, she'll tell us about bifocals. There's something, if you're having trouble reading. Kim, real quick, since you mentioned the film part of it, give us a thought there in terms of gift guides, holiday stuff for people that are movie freaks.
Oh, sure. Well, you know what? Our screens editor, our culture editor, Richard Whitaker, wrote about two movie books. I don't know how long you guys have been in Austin, but if you remember the Alamo Drafthouse, do you remember the Alamo Drafthouse?
I don't.
I mean, back in the day, you know, Weird Wednesday, Terror Tuesday, were just like a weekly write for people. And Zach Carlson and Lars Nilsson were the guys who ran those nights. They both have books out. And they're, one of them is about sort of real gnarly horror films. And the other one is about exploitation pictures. So if you're really into like genre niche film stuff, those are great books to check out.
The holiday gift guide is out there, AustinChronicle.com. Kim Jones and Rachel Rasko have been nice enough to come by and see us. Thank you guys so much for coming by.
Well, thank y'all.
And
Rachel, we will not spread the word that you are a Violent Femmes fan. I will not do that. They're not your favorite band. Not that you dislike them. We will not spread the word that they're your favorite band.
I need to just pick something that I can say. I just take it too seriously, you know, like. What should I just say, you know?
Just say Sweet Spirit and we'll all move on with it because it's got the local flavor to it.
Yeah, that's true.
They're really good.
Well, I think that's why I would feel so bad if I didn't say a local band. I just overthink it.
I think Two Live Crew is probably the best answer. I think you just freak everybody out, say Two Live Crew and move on.
Two Live Crew or Walker Lukens, one of the two.
No, I can't say Walker Lukens. I'm just kidding. I love Walker. Well,
that's fantastic. Thank you all so much for coming in. AustinChronicle.com. Check out the gift guide. If you're having a little trouble thinking of that cool gift, or maybe you just need an extra cool gift, they got a lot of ideas in there for you. Check it out, AustinChronicle.com. Coming up, part three of Trey's interview with Bob Saget. And yes, he starts with the question about, is Dave Coulier the guy in the Alanis Morissette song? Apparently, Bob Saget's got an answer that Trey was interested in. He'll give it to you next on The Horn.